Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional and unceded territory of the Musqueam and Coast Salish people. I am your host, Neetu Da, and this is my show, Convictions and Contradictions, otherwise known as CC, probably the only radio show to ever be subtitled, ironically. So if you know what ironically means, if you look in your car on the radio, or if you're listening to it on some sort of device, you'll know that you can't see subtitles. Maybe in the future they'll create subtitles. So that would be a very innovative person. And before I kind of go into the show, I want to tell everybody that Fun Drive is coming up here for CHR and Discorder Magazine, which is part of CHR. It's Fun Drive 2019. It's the Ruby Jubilee making milestones. It starts February 28th, so at the end of February, the last day of the month, the 28th, that's Thursday, and then it ends March 8th. Currently, I believe you can donate online if you just go to citr.ca/donate. You can donate online. Later on, you can call, I believe starting February 28th, you can call 604-822-8648. Or I believe, like, you know how, like, when you see like a truck or some sort of van driving through the city and they have like 604 and like got junk, how they like change the numbers into a word, and so instead of the numbers, it's some sort of clever terminology that goes with whatever their business is. So I wonder if that'll work, if eventually one day they decide to put the numbers on your cell phone and not have like the letters attached to it. Maybe one day they'll get rid of it. I don't think iPhones have that, though. Maybe they do. I don't have an iPhone, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but again, the phone number is 604-UBC-UNIT or 604-822-8648, or you can donate online, chr.ca/donate, if you like to donate online. I, for one, am not familiar with online shopping and things like that. Usually if I were to do online shopping, I just get my brothers to do it because they have their cards set up and everything, and for me, it's just a difficulty. And last year we didn't have Fun Drive, which was unfortunate, but this year we do. Fun Drive, Ruby Jubilee, making milestones. And as we do in past years, each show has its specific show prizes. And I myself also have show specific prizes, hopefully. and if you want show specific prizes from a show, you have to call in when Fun Drive starts, so February 28th. If you donate online, I don't believe you can get that swag or get those prizes. So you have to wait until Fun Drive starts and call in and say that I would like to donate to this, like, for example, I would like to donate to CC, Convictions and Contradictions, that show that Neetu runs. And then you can possibly get some of my show-specific prizes. They're going to be awesome. So that's a very biased opinion, seeing as they're my prizes. And so moving on with the show, I know I could have done a better transition, couldn't I? I was about to say tradition. Well, I guess that could also apply. But I wanted to talk about how I hate certain pictures. Sometimes, you know, you see pictures, you always see pictures, what am I talking about? You see pictures in advertisements, online, if you're a social media, of course you see pictures. But there's a certain type of picture that I always have disliked. It's a picture where there's a person in the middle of the road, and they're walking in the opposite direction. They're not facing you, you're taking a picture from the back, usually like a black and white picture, and seen it in like a lot of music videos and whatnot. They're walking the opposite way and you take a picture from behind, and they're always in the middle of the road, and I don't know why are they in the middle of the road? Well, if this was a true what's the word, humanitarian Samanitarian. I think that's the word. If this was a true Samanitarian, they would be on the side of the road. They would be on the side, not bothering anybody, not getting in anybody's way. It's not like they're paying, it's not like it's kids playing hockey in the middle of the street and then when a car walks by, they move out of the way. No, they're just walking right in the middle of the street. And I understand how, you know, some pictures you might not see why it's like artistically good or artistically pleasing or just artistic. And for those kinds of photos, I could never get it. Like, why is a person in the middle of the street so appealing? Do we, you know, like the social norm is usually that when you walk down the street, you're always on one side of the street, usually the right side. Even when you're on the sidewalk, you take one side. You don't walk through the middle of the sidewalk. That's even, like, personally for me, even if there's no one behind me, no one in front of me, no bikes passing through, no person with a baby stroller coming down the street, or someone who's possibly in an automated wheelchair. That's probably not what they're called. So that, maybe they'll change the terminology. Probably not. I doubt they would listen to the show. I always go to the side of the street because that's how I was always taught. And you know, following the rules is artistic. And showing that people follow the rules is nice and artistic. I don't know why most of it seems like, most art that today seems appealing is kind of devious. I don't know why. I don't get why that photo, the people in the middle of the street. I don't get it. I've never understood it. Maybe if it was like a skateboarder, but even then, you could still do it on the side of the street. You know, it doesn't have to be like, okay, the picture is framed to the middle of the street and the person's just off to the side. You don't have to do it that way. Just move the camera over. Move it to the side of the street so that they're still in the middle. And it would be a better picture. It would show some manners and you follow social norms correctly. Another thing I want to talk about, kind of related to this, is do people really want friendly service when they go into, say, when they interact with, say, a cashier or over the phone? Do you really want friendly service? And I don't mean like, and what I mean is that you don't want bad service. Like, you don't want the person to be rude to you, but you don't want them to be overly friendly, where they just, I hate a salesperson or a service person who's just overly energetic. Like, I need you to be at the level where you're just doing your job. You're talking to me, you're being polite, but you're not trying to be friendly with me. You're not trying to, you know, figure out how my day was going and really going in depth. Like, what was your breakfast like? Or how did your day start? Just, you know, I think that's the only situation where I like it when someone asks me, how are you? I'm like, okay, I'm fine. I'm good, I'm great. And then the conversation just moves on. In that situation, I feel like that works out. But in person, how are you isn't sufficient enough to know how a person is. Because the traditional answer is like one syllable. I'm fine. I'm great. Or I'm pretty fine. That's not a good. If it's more than one syllable, you know they're not okay. But, you know, it's okay not to be okay. And I've, like many of us, I remember in high school I heard this statistic, where like we spend like, I forgot what it was, but we spend a lot of years of our life just standing in lines for like, you know, like standing in lines to maybe donate your blood, to get into a clinic, to donate if it's, you know, if it's an in-person fundraiser. So, not sure how that would work. Or if you're standing in line for, like, a new product that's coming out and you want to be, like, the first to get it. Though I'm sure that statistic has gone down since. Because now you can avoid lines more often. There are more, industries have created more opportunities where you don't have to do that. Especially with, if you go to, this is interesting. I didn't make this connection when I first saw these or heard about these, but when I imagine if you've ever gone to, a grocery store, say, Save On Foods or a superstore here in BC, or even if you've gone to McDonald's, I believe McDonald's does this. I'm not sure if other fast food places have gone with this method yet or this technology yet. Subway could never do this. Is that they have automated machines where you just put your order in there. You don't have to talk to somebody. And I imagine they did that so that it goes by faster. You can just do it yourself. There's no issue in communication, not quite understanding the other person's language, not quite hearing them because it's too loud in the store. And instead, the only kind of mistake you might make is that you put the order in wrong into the machine. But they make it easy. They make everything real big, and it's just easy to tell what everything is. And they always have, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Is this your order? Is this the correct amount? Is this what you're willing to pay? No, they don't have that one on there. And then Superstore, Save On Foods, maybe Safeway. Not sure about Safeway. I go less to Safeway. Not on purpose, just the other stores are in closer proximity. But they have manual checkouts. I think that's what they're called, manual checkouts. Where you just check your stuff out by yourself, and then you just pay for it with the machine, and then there's a supervisor that does it for you. And again, I think the reason they did this was because it's faster, it's easier for people to get in and get out. And it kind of avoids the mistakes that could happen if you were to go among the process with the person. Because if it's just a machine, you don't feel awkward with the machine. We're used to machines by now. But with the person, social situations, now they could be a little different. They could be a little stressful. It could be difficult. I've always thought of it this way. If you go into a checkout and you interact with someone who works in the service industry, or they can make your day worse, but usually I have found that they can't make your day that much better. If someone's like for me, if they're overly friendly, I can't deal with them. They're just too much. Just like people with too much energy. I can't deal with it. I don't know how to interact with you. I don't know what to say. And I'm usually not so bad at social situations, which probably is contradictory a little bit, because as a kid I was very shy. I've grown up. I've grown out of it. But sometimes I just want a person to shut up. Like if they see something that I'm wearing, some sort of clothing that they like, and they're probably thinking oh, I'm doing good at my job, I'm interacting with the client, I'm making them feel better, I'm contributing, I'm doing something good, but it's subjective. I don't like it. I hate that. I just want to get in, get out, move on. You're not going to become my friend. You're just someone I pass by. It's unlikely that the next time I come here, you're also going to be here. So let's just move on. And it's funny how in service industry, the better, the nicer you are, the more friendly you are, the kind of the higher up you can go in the position, the better you're seen as an employee. My brother told me this before when we went you know, shopping during Christmas. Never really mentioned it before. Or I just never noticed it before. Is that if he would come across someone he liked, though I rarely do, if you leave me alone, then I might do this. They'll probably, but then if you don't come up to me, then I can't really bat for you either. But what he does is that if there's a certain person who helped him find something or just, you know, gave him good directions or they had a nice conversation about whatever it was, then he'll mention to, like, when he goes to, like, pay for whatever he got, he always mentions, like, oh, this person, if he knows their name, is like, this person really helped me out. I don't know if you keep track of that, but, you know, like, they did well, you know, don't fire them, promote them, possibly give them a raise, though he doesn't go that far. And so do people like it when people are friendly? Like, I don't like a friendly waitress or waiter or server, if that's more politically correct. I like someone who doesn't come to the table too often. Someone who, I don't like it when they give you your food and you eat it and then they come back and they ask, like, how's the food? I hate that. Because this is a big thing for me. I say this less because I'm so much in myself right now. Physically, I'm very kind of isolated from people. But I used to do this a lot. I used to say this a lot to my family, usually. Because I would always say, like, if, like, they would ask me, like, do you want some, if they were, like, say if me and my brothers are watching TV. One of them gets up to go get something, and they said, do you want some water? And my response would always be, if I wanted something, I would tell you. I would raise my hand, I would yell, if it was a server, I would point and, you know, call them over, like, I need more ketchup, I would like more water. I don't like when they're preemptive about this stuff. I don't... It's like, it's kind of similar to, ads on, you know, have you ever found when you were, like, on, I'm sure you have found this, like, you're on the internet, you're going on vacation soon, you're, you know, looking at hotels, you're looking at deals and trips and whatnot, and then you, maybe later on you go on Facebook or something, and then suddenly the ads on the side have to do with, like, vacations and hotel deals to the places you were searching, like, preemption. I hate that. And though maybe I think I am definitely a minority because, you know, when I've been in the service industry myself, and they always say, like, be friendly, be polite, try to, like, kind of leave a positive effect on the person, leave them wanting more, I guess, a little bit. Like, the classic example is, like, the flight attendant, stewardess, I think that's another word for them, or those people. They're, you know, always be polite, always smile, always be kind of warm and welcoming, and don't be kind of closed off. And I think most people do like that, otherwise, you know, they wouldn't keep saying that. You don't want a rude server, you want someone nice. So I'm not saying I want someone rude, I just want someone who's less interactive with me. And I can't think of any time where, say, a service person or, like, a real someone who works in a retail store and, like, kind of goes around and asks you, like, do you need any help with that, or do you need help with this, or something like that. I hate even that. I dislike it. If I need something, I'll find you. I'll come find you. I'll come say, I need help with this. Can you help me out? Just be available. Just be in the vicinity. Like, if you're a server, don't go into the back. Just stand somewhere where I can see you so I can reach out to you. And so, I guess, to sum it up, I'm kind of against, I'm against friendly service. I am. I'm for automated machines. But at the same time, there's always, you know, there's that social level to it because they have all these automated machines and there's less cashiers, there's less jobs, there's less people getting paid for things. Leaving it on a heavy note, that's probably not good. And I'm going to play some instrumental music. Those of you who have listened to the show before know that I only play instrumental music on the show because I'm passionate about instrumental music. I feel like it's underrepresented, and the only time it is represented, it's in a horrible way. Again, it has to do with the service industry. It has to do with call waiting. Call waiting, it's almost usually instrumental music that is played during those wait times. And it's always horrible. I don't know where they get this stuff. It's probably just, there are websites where you can get, like, free music so you can use for, like, class projects and things like that, where there's no copyright attached. I imagine it's that. Not to say that's the music. Well, I guess I am saying that the music is horrible. It's bad. Like, for one of, I was an intern at a place. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say the place. But I was an intern at a place. And I would call, I would call hospitals, and mental facilities to kind of distribute these flyers that we had in information sheets. So I would be on the phone a lot. I would be on hold a lot. And that music, I think that music is giving instrumental music just a bad rep. Maybe that's where it comes from. So this first song is from the artist Flatbed, all caps, in case you were interested. I'm sure the artist would want you to know that. From their album Drug Mom, which has an interesting cover, by the way. It's a baby bottle on the left, and on the right is a syringe. It's black and white. Drug Mom. This song is called Life is Wrong.
Thought about going abroad to study, work, intern, or learn a language? Mark Thursday, February 28th, your calendar, and get down to the Vancouver Convention Center, East Building, to find out how. All the experts under one roof. Top universities, gap year specialists, and student travel organizations. There's a feature seminar on scholarships that starts at 1 p.m. and the expo opens at 2 p.m. Admission is free. Check it out online at www.studyandgoabroad.com for more info.
This band is really good, and I've been wanting to find out more about local music.
Yeah, I heard about it through CITR and Discorder.
What's that?
It's a radio station. You can review all the music that comes in and help out with touring bands or just do some data entry to get started in their music department.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you can just email volunteer at CITR.ca and they can help you get into the station or just come in whenever.
Well, I'll be there, so...
said that people disappoint, but pizza is eternal. That adage is being put to the test with Canadians weighing in on pizza, love, and slice etiquette. 6 in 10 Canadians have some type of relationship deal breaker when it comes to pizza, but 1 in 3 have no pizza love limits at all. The top deal breaker was eating pizza in bed at 18%, and closely behind was anchovies on pizza at 17%. Next up were picks the cheese off at 10, eats pizza with a knife and fork at 8%, uses too much garlic dipping sauce at 7%, puts pineapple on pizza at 6%, doesn't eat the crust at 6%, and eats it cold at 4%. So cuddle up on the couch and share some za and some love.
Hi, we're back. This is CITR 101.9 FM, and I just said we when it's just me. I should have said I am back. I'm correcting myself, even though I'm not the best at grammar, or definitely not at pronunciation or spelling. I'm just letting all my weaknesses out. And I would like to say more about Fun Drive. We always have swag. There's different levels of swag depending on how much you donate, and I'd like to just list them out for all of you. So let's see if I can read this correctly. So the first level of swag is a CITR and Escorter Fun Drive patch. If you've ever been to a concert or maybe some sort of band show or live band show. I actually didn't know this until I met Miles Black, our music director. I did 2 full shows on this cool jacket he has, where it has all these different patches on it. So you can get that at $30, or I think it's $10 per month. I'm not sure what this per month thing is about, but I'll just say $30, you get the patch. And then at $60, you get the patch plus exclusive tote bags. We had tote bags the year before last year. It was a red one where it said CITR, but they did it in a clever way. Like the C, the letter C was like the sea, like the ocean. And then the I was like, you know, your eyeball. And then the T was like tea. You know, tea that you would drink. And then they also did Discorder, disc. So Discorder, disc. They had a disc. And then order. They had like, you know, like how a server would write out things on like, you know, a notepad. It was that. So see, but they didn't have something for R, though. Imagine R is kind of difficult. I guess you could do like arg, like a pirate. That's very stereotypical. But yeah, I believe this time around we have different designs. I imagine they're great. And then at 101.9, they're clever, doing it again. You get all those previous ones. You get the patch, the tote bag, and then you get CITR Josie socks. So you get some nice socks. At 175, you get all those things, plus a limited edition fishbowl tape. at 250, you get all the things before. You get the patch, you get the tote bag, you get the socks, you get the tape, the fishbowl tape. I believe that's, when they say tape, they mean like, not like scotch tape. I mean like a cassette tape, I believe. And then at 250, you get a framed cover of Discorder magazine. I believe you pick whichever cover of Discorder magazine you like from whatever year, whatever month, and we frame it for you and we give it to you. And then at 500, oh, this is great. This would be great if someone did this, if someone was willing to donate all this. You get to host a show here at the station. You get to host CITR 101.9 FM, I imagine, for an hour. And then at $1,000, goodness, you get a Pop Alliance compilation box set. And you also get recognition on our donor wall. If you've ever been to CITR, CITR and Discorder, if you've ever been to the station here at UBC, on the territory of the Musqueam and Coast Salish people, you'll see that when you enter on the left on the wall, we have our donor wall. We have, there are tapes, like cassette tapes, and on each tape we have, the donors' names on it. And let's see, and our fundraising goal this year is $40,000. I know there's another way to say that. I think people say like $40,000, or how do the people? I remember I would, I would do like client intakes at this place. I'm not sure if I can mention the place, and I would have to ask them about something that included numbers, and they would usually give the number in like hundreds. They would say like 1,200, and I was like, okay, 100 to 120. But no. They actually mean like 12,000. That's actually what they mean. I don't know why I never learned that. Maybe it's a Vancouver thing. You learn that in Vancouver. I'm from Surrey originally, so maybe that's why. I'm not completely sure. Again, you can donate to Fund Drive online. You can get, if you donate on, and earlier I said you can't get swag for show specific show prices, but if you donate online, you can definitely be eligible for all the swag I just listed out. Again, Fundrise starts at the end of February 28th, Thursday at 4 p.m. We end Thursday, March 7th at 9:30 p.m. And there's going to be a big finale at Redgate Art Society. So can show up. There'll probably be some swag and snacks and definitely some music there also. So if you've listened to CITR or read Discorder for a long time, I hope you donate. I hope you donate to my show, because every show has a fun driving goal. I'm worried about reaching mine because I'm not sure who my audience is. I hope I have an audience. Maybe not after all of this time I've spent on Fun Drive. And less so on the show. So I wanted to continue to ask this, the following question. How long does your smile last as you walk away from a conversation with someone? I'm always kind of curious. I'm curious about this, and I usually kind of watch out for this. Like, every now and then, you'll be walking along the street for me, usually UBC. I'm walking around UBC. I'm going from one class to another. I see, like, a group of people. They're talking. They're smiling. And then, they go their separate ways. And then sometimes their smile lasts. Sometimes, they walk a little bit and they're still kind of laughing or chuckling or smiling about whatever they were talking about. Other times it fades quick. As soon as you turn your head, it's a frown. The smile just goes upside down. And I wonder what that says about the person. What I find interesting, whenever I think of these questions, I think of their use. find the use in these questions to be different from what other people might think the use is. For instance, like, if you were to ever go on a date, personally, big confession, people, I've never been on a date. I have never, 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 ever, ever, ever have I been on a date. Not to say I'm not interested in a date. My mom gave me permission to date not too long ago. But I've never dated. I don't know how to get into dating. But anyway, usually on a date you would ask things like, kind of stealing from Steve Harvey here, kind of like, you know, what are your long-term goals? What are your plans? What are your values? Those kinds of things. What I would ask is some roundabout questions to figure out what is this person's manners like? Like, I would ask them, when you walk down the street, do you walk in the middle of the street or do you walk on the side of the street? And I would ask, like, do you jaywalk? How long does your smile last when you walk away from someone? What do you think of people who go to the bathroom during a movie or a show? I'm very, should I say judgmental? I'm very weirded out by those people. Unless, you really have to go. But otherwise, you know, you came to see the movie, you should stay and watch it. And if you leave, then you're missing it. To me, that's always been a weird thing. People leaving during a movie to go to the bathroom. I've never understood it. I don't understand why. Well, I guess I understand you have to go to the bathroom, but how urgently? I mean, I would hold it in. But then again, I've also had bladder infections in the past. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's my issue. So maybe all of you are right. Maybe you're all correct. And I kind of want to go back and talk more about, like, friendly service, like, hospitality, I guess. Friendly hospitality in the service industry. Or maybe not just the service industry. Maybe a broader term. Because I'd like to give you an example of a time where, when it happened, I was, I didn't quite like what happened. But later on, I totally respect it and agree with it. And so glad this person said what they said in the way that they said it. And I will come back and talk about that. But before that, I'm going to play some more music. But before that, I want to leave you with kind of something to think about. Would you possibly put your horoscope on your resume to prove your soft skills? Would you? I wonder. Because hard skills are easier to prove. Hard skills are things like being able to put, like, data into statistical software like SPSS, and being able to, like, graph that data, like, take out an input, or how to use Microsoft Office or Adobe or Google or not Google or Gmail or OneDrive, like all these kind of applications. Like, those are hard skills. I remember my professor said it this way: a hard skill is something that you can kind of easily prove, something that you can't. I should have gave a content warning at the beginning of the show. A hard skill is something that you can't BS, something you can't bullshit. Like, if you were at an interview and they gave you, like, run this data set in Excel, make a graph out of it, you can't bullshit that. You either know or you don't know. Whereas soft skills is more like, you're good at communication. You know, you give friendly service. You're a polite person. You know how to work in a team. You know how to work independently. Those things are hard to prove. You can't really be given a test in that, per se. They're harder to prove. So would you put your horoscope on there to kind of, like, she'll give a little proof, like, yes, I have these soft skills. So I find it quite funny if you were to put it on there, because not everybody believes in horoscopes and astrological signs. I don't personally. Every now and then, if I'm like flipping through a newspaper or something, if I see that there's a horoscope section, I might look at my horoscope. Besides that, not really. But I wonder, would that count as we become more of kind of society becomes like more progressive, to say, I don't know the correct terminology, but more kind of conscious about certain things. Would a horoscope be accepted, or would it still be like, no? Like, no, what will be accepted is that if you put like your LinkedIn URL or something like that. Something to think about, though I find it extremely weird. This next song is from, goodness, A Mantra Versus Submerged, I believe that's how you say it, from their album Lost Direction. And this song is called And Then We Started to Disappear.
Thank you. another night's work well done. And so easy without that nuisance Spider-Man.
I didn't know you cared.
You!
Yes, Electro, and I'm going to short-circuit you once and for all.
You would have been better off in the hands of the police. You are no match for my power.
It takes more than power to win. It takes brains and knowing your enemy.
I'll pit my power against your brains any day. What was that?
That, my thieving fiend, is the result of brains.
Use your brain. Turn off all the lights when you leave a room. If every household in BC turned off one light bulb for 4 hours a day for 1 year, it would save enough electricity to power all the homes in Mission for an entire year. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
The Leo Ramirez Show at CITR, Mondays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. El show de Leo Ramirez en CITR, lunes de 5 a 6 de la tarde.
Hi, you're listening to CHR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Neetu Da, and I just like to, my coming up on my hour, but I would like to tell you this little story. So, a few years ago, I think it was 3 years ago now, I broke my knee. I broke my right knee, or I fractured it, I guess. I usually just say broke. But it was completely my fault. It was completely my fault. I went to, there's a park near where I live. I went there, and I was planning to just kind of walk around the park. But I saw the swings, and I thought, oh, it's been a while. So I went on the swings, and then I jumped off higher than I should have. And I landed on my one, I landed with just my right leg. And I guess in that moment, the impact was just too much, and it fractured my knee. And so I, you know, my brother come, there's more to the story than this, but my brother came and got me, and we went to the hospital. My other family members came who could have. My mom was at work, my dad showed up, my brother Tony stayed for as long as he could. He had work the next day. But it was me, my brother Nav, my dad, we were in the hospital. You know, I went through the checkups, they did like a x-ray, or they did scan, and then I was just, you know, just in one of the hospital beds, I guess, and I was just waiting to hear back, hearing what it was, hearing if it was just a bruise, was it broken, like, do I need a cast, do I need a splint. It ended up being a splint, and then, so I was just waiting for the doctor to come and tell me, like, what's the news. The doctor walked by. He wasn't approaching me, but he walked by, and I just said, I just kind of yelled out, like, I forgot what I said specifically, but could you, tell me what's going on? Do you have, like, some time to tell me? I was nervous. I wanted to know. He was passing by. We've been waiting for a while. And he said this. He said, yes, it was a he. He said, how did he, I can't do it quite like he did it, but he went something like this. It's not good. And then he just walked away. And then he just continued on. And what went through my head was like, you're not supposed to do that. That's not how you're supposed to respond to a patient. I know that part of when you go to medical school, is that what it's called? Like when you're training or studying to be a doctor, it's not all just like body parts and, you know, chemicals and diagnoses and things like that. There's also a portion on, like, the social aspects, like how do you tell a patient difficult news, how do you go through a checkup, and not always, like, how do you use a syringe, and How do you, you know, when you get a body on your foot, how do you apply that liquid nitrogen? I think that's what it is. That really cold stuff. Like, it's not always on that. They also teach you, like, how to interact with the patient. And I'm pretty sure that that wasn't part of it. At the time, I was a little advert to it. I was a little shocked, and it just left me, like, thinking, like, you know, thinking the worst. Like, how bad is this? But then later on, I was glad that he did it that way. I was so relieved that he did it that way. Because if he was all nicey-nice about it, I would have just disliked it. So to me, the opposite of friendly service is just being kind of blunt and straightforward. But then again, that's just me. That might be some of you. But when... And I'm sure I'm a minority in this. Because the reason that people act polite and friendly in the service industry in a broad sense is because that research has shown that, you know, if you're friendly, you know, more profit. You do better. There's more that will come to you that way. And what if my brother says this a lot, or I bring it up a lot, is that he needs, like, we have a family doctor, but he doesn't like the family doctor that we have because he doesn't like the way that the doctor interacts with him. He needs a nice doctor. Not that our doctor is, I've always liked him. He always has a conversation with me. He always catches up with me, like, how are you? He remembers that I go to university, he remembers I'm in school, like, how are you doing in your studies? Like, makes a little joke with my mom. Like, you know, when she's older, you better make sure that, you know, when you're older, you better make sure you take care of your parents. And, you know, that kind of thing. I always thought that was a great way to interact with patients. Apparently, my brother doesn't. Or maybe he acts differently with him. Imagine he does. But I always appreciated that. But here we go, I'm contradicting myself, because so far what I have said is that I don't like friendly service. But I guess a doctor is a different thing, because you're more intimate. I see him more often, and you know, we talk about some personal things. And so it's probably better if you're friendly with them. Whereas if you're going in for to buy a shirt, you don't exactly want to get all hot and heavy and start talking about how your day was. Maybe the weather, but not your day. I'm probably in the minority of this, aren't I? But, okay, I'm coming up on my hour. So next up is the show Goody. And then after Goody, it is Rocket from Russia.
It's like the two back legs of a horse. Kick is like the two back legs of a horse.